to the Fitz Life Unfiltered podcast with Kim and Jamie Fitzpatrick, former employees turned successful online entrepreneurs, speakers, parents, and couple. Thank you for tuning in. We know your time is valuable, and their goal is to help you live abundantly, provide value and tips on achieving physical, mental, spiritual, and financial wealth while navigating this crazy-ass thing we call life. Are you ready? Let's go!
Welcome to Fitz Life Unfiltered. It is March. Why is time going so fast? It's my first question. This is a solo podcast, so you won't hear the sweet, smooth sounds of Kim Fitzpatrick. I hope that's okay. Don't know how long this is going to be. I will not be reading a review because I didn't pull it up. I had an interesting question come across my Instagram from a young gentleman. I think he's 25, 26. He asked a question, and I actually, you know, I'm a former high school teacher. You know, Kim has started her private coaching. I'm going to start my private coaching. What am I waiting for? Very good question. Confidence, which is what I'm going to talk about, is what the question was. So even I'm like, you know, it's a good thing to meld these two things together because, you know, we're all human beings and we all, I don't want to use the word struggle because that's not what you're doing. You're not struggling. You're just living a human experience. And through that human experience, there's different emotions and things happen. And that happens to all of us. It happens to Michael Jordan. It happens to the best of the best. They just find ways to move through it and do it anyway. They just do it anyway. And I'm going to say that a few times today. So anyway, back to my, what I was going to intro with is like, your sort of ability in this, the question from this gentleman. And when I start my private coaching, I'm going to probably primarily work with men. I think I'll work with some women, but, I'll probably work with men, you know, 30 to 50 to 60, help them with life, business, wellness, all those things. Kind of a life strategist. I have a lot of experience, so I think I could really help people. So stay tuned. It's coming. I think, you know, I think maybe even a sweet spot for me personally, I'd like to work with even men, you know, in the 20s to the 30 range. Cause I think I can have a real impact on that age bracket. Yeah, I'm 50, 51. I mean, oh God, that's saying that out loud is hard. No, it's not, but it is 51, but I feel like I can still relate to that age bracket. Obviously I've been through my 20s and 30s and stuff, but I think that's a really pivotal time for men when I think, especially in their 20s, I remember I felt like I really had to be doing something and know what I was doing at that point. And I actually don't think that's necessarily true. I think, and this goes for men and women, I think that if I had to do it all over again, like the first thing, I went to college right away, not bashing college. Even though I think, man, 30 years later, there's so many different routes to make a living, earn income, you know, develop a passion. They're just so with the age of the internet and digital stuff. And, you know, there's so many things you can do now. You know, I graduated when I was 17, went to college, and I started teaching immediately. I probably would do it very differently now. I would explore other things. Not that, you know, everything turned out great. But I just would have experienced more of life in my early 20s and maybe traveled a bit and done some stuff like that. And I don't think anything's a waste. I taught for 7 years, certainly wasn't a waste, but I probably could have done some other things in the entrepreneurial space or business or that sort of thing. So I would like to work with that group, I think, of men, 20s and 30s. I think I could really be a guide and mentor for them, you know? But so I did get this question from this gentleman, mid 20s. His question was that, you know, he was interested in business. His main question was like, he felt like he was lacking the confidence to take the next step into what he wanted to do. And he was actually interested in photography. And he said people commented on his photography. He was very much into it. He had multiple cameras. He knew a lot about it. I believe he took some classes, and I don't say he went to school for that, but he took some classes. He even was doing some drone work and stuff like that. And he wanted to do his own business and put it out for the public, because It was just private for the most part, sharing his photos, doing some drone stuff. And, you know, and this, he just lacked this confidence to go and do it. And how should he proceed? What kind of things did I think he could do to work on his confidence and those things? And listen, this is for men and women. This isn't men related, but this is who the question came from. Confidence is something like, if it doesn't matter what age you are, but if you are a certain, you know, you're let's say you're 30 or 25 or you're male, female, it doesn't really matter. A lot of your qualities as a human being, and confidence is one of them for sure. That's a multitude of factors, right? How we were raised, trauma in our life, events that happened, maybe things that happened to you in school, maybe groups you were a part of, sports teams, how your parents talked to you, how friends talked to you, maybe achievements you did or didn't have, insecurities, the way you look, the way you dress, the amount of money you grew up with. All these things factor into this, right? And you know, if let's say you labeled 10 people in society who had really good confidence, I'll guarantee you, though, those 10 people, even though, you know, let's just play the game, they all have 97 out of 100 confidence. I'm just making that scale up. But let's just say those 10 people have that all in the same field or all in the same level. I can guarantee you those 10 people all come from different backgrounds. They all come from different trauma. They all come from, you know what I mean, like different sized towns, backgrounds, ethnicities. So I don't think confidence, it's affected by all those traits and all those characteristics and events and things that happen. But I don't necessarily think that's going to lead you down the path because you were raised in a small town in Arkansas and didn't have a lot of money or opportunity. And you weren't good at basketball and someone made fun of your sneakers one. I think there's ways to work around that and stuff. I don't think you're going to just go down the path of low confidence, because we clearly see throughout history what appears to be, and confidence, success, I guess, I don't want to say they cohabit together, confidence, success, but I do think success, you're going to need to have some confidence. And, you know, this made up scale I've made of, let's say, 97, 100 on the confidence meter. I don't know if anyone has 100. I don't think that's possible. We're human beings. And even though you might be confident in certain areas of life, you probably lack confidence in other areas of your life. Someone who's really confident with computer systems and AI and software and coding may not be confident socially. I'm not making a stereotype. I'm just saying. So confidence isn't just all in one thing. We have certain characteristics and confidence in certain parts of our life. So back to the question. I don't ultimately know all the answers of how you develop confidence, but let me give you some of my perspective on this and what I think. And because I think as most people grow older and you mature, you actually realize that what you thought you lacked in confidence, maybe in your teens or your 20s, I think there's some maturity that comes along in your 30s, 40s, and 50s where you're like, oh, I just wasn't sure about the world. I just wasn't even sure about myself as much. But as you mature and realize, everyone has quirks, everyone has warts. Some people are good at something, some people aren't good. And you understand the older you get, the way that works. And you're still going to lack confidence in some things and confidence in others. But I of course view this from, you know, this gentleman who wants to go into business, and that's where he feels like he's lacking the confidence because he doesn't know much about it. I think you can learn everything you can online nowadays, but yeah, find a mentor who can lead you down the path. And I did, and I helped him. I was like, hey, if you want to start a website, here are some places that you can easily build a website for very cheap. They'll look great. You know, I gave him that advice. He could probably have Googled that himself. You know, how do I take payment? Okay, well, I know, you know, if you look up Stripe is a great way to take payment from people. You can produce a product, produce a link, send them the link. It props up. They can enter their credit. So there's little things you can help people. But most of that stuff nowadays, you don't even need a mentor for that. You can find that online. But other things, you know, you start to sell something online. You're worried. You want to know about margins and cold costs. And maybe you're going to start paying fees on site. You know, those are the things I think a good business mentor can help guide you a little bit better as the questions and the details become more complicated. You know, and that comes with experience, right? For me, I've done brick and mortar, built out a franchise system. I'm not pumping my tires, just giving you some background. I'm familiar with royalties and franchise agreements and you know, commercial rent and all, you know, all the things that come with that, and dealing with franchisees, and then, you know, moving into consulting, and then into direct sales, and now into online sales and private co, you know, so I've got this experience. And of course, his confidence comes from that, from experience. The hard part for people is, and I think this is for younger people or someone maybe who's 37 and who has had a job and they haven't really tried too many things. I think confidence in the entrepreneurial space and the business space, and this is kind of my motto, is like, at some point you kind of have to do things anyway, you know, not sure about it, not sure where to start, or not sure if you should do something. You kind of have to do it anyway. And I'm not telling you to risk $8 million to, because on a spur of the thing idea, but at some point in life, whether it's business, relationships, new job, moving, buying a house, taking a chance, doing something that's outside the box, that's going to require some grit and effort, you know, you're going to have to at some point have the confidence in your intuition and judgment to go, I'm going to do it anyway. This feels right. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not sure what the end is because none of us have a crystal ball, but I'm going to do it anyway. And this has kind of been my sort of theme throughout life. I've never been too afraid to try things, and I've lacked confidence. I just want to give you some perspective here. I, growing up in my brother, I always thought was very intelligent, and he is. And I had some insecurities around that because I knew he was smarter than I, like, I just knew he was smarter than I was. And he used to like take apart these radios and put them back together as a kid. And I've never been interested in that stuff. Like, I can't build things. I'm not good that way. My dad took me out in the backyard and taught me how to throw a curveball. Now, not how to fucking build a shed. Like, it just wasn't part of my thing. I've learned on my own how to do things, of course, things that I'm interested in. But that wasn't part of my DNA. And even I remember in high school worrying about, God, how does a mortgage work? How do you buy a house? And then there's percentages. I'm not kidding you. That stuff really took a toll on my mental. I remember being in grade 10, 11, and 12 and struggling with how do people figure all that stuff out, which now it's so second nature. But at the time, I wasn't sure that. And I remember I had some of these sort of intelligence insecurities, you know? And at the end of the day, the only way I moved through those insecurities and the only way I got past those things was to try stuff and to test myself and to figure out, you know what, I'm going to try to do that. Let's actually see where my intellectual level is on that thing. And me having the knowledge and me being able to conceptualize that, you know what, I'm going to try this new thing. If it works, awesome. I'm going to build a little confidence from that. If not, I'm probably going to learn something about myself and about that opportunity, and it'll probably lead me down another path that I could try something else. But I didn't let my insecurities get too much a hold of me, and I definitely had some, and I still do. We all do, right? We're human. But I really think confidence in its simplest form comes from doing. And I think a lot of people who start new businesses, who try, and it doesn't have to be a big investment, but people who start these new businesses, who try something else, they invest, you know, direct sales is a big one, or you can start any business online now for very affordable. Build a website, create a product, you can create digital products, get stuff, you know, like, it's very, you, anyone can start a business for a very low amount of money. And it's like, the hard part is that I think people, even when they start these businesses, they lack so much confidence, and right, this is the chicken before the egg thing. They lack so much confidence that they do the busy work in the business and not the needle moving work in the business. Because it's almost like a protection, because if you don't go all in on something, if you don't go all in on the business that cost you $50 or $200 or $500, if you're not doing everything you can, you have an easy out. I wasn't really my passion. To be honest with you, I didn't really do all I could in that business. And it's an ego protector, right? I call them ego protectors. I see it all the time in our multiple businesses, because we deal with a lot of new business partners and they're hyped up, they're gung-ho, they have confidence problems. So they never actually go all in on their business because it's subconsciously, consciously, they're worried that they can't do it because they have a confidence issue. The circle there, though, is that if you constantly worry that you can't do it and you don't go all in and take all the action you need to do in that business, it can be different businesses, different industries, you're never going to know if you can do it. And that's the problem. So they get caught up in this busy work, this rigmarole, you know, just read, but don't do. Read, practice, but don't do. Like at some point, you've got to get in the trenches and do the needle moving hard work. That is typically the work that makes you uncomfortable. Maybe you got to get in front of people. Maybe you got to go do a presentation for somebody. Maybe you have to invite someone to look at your product. Maybe you have to invite someone to look at your website and go, hey, I've got these things. Maybe they have to look at your platform that you've kind of created. That's the ego testing stuff. That's the insecurities that come out for people. They'll read 18 books on how to do the business, but they won't actually start taking action that they've read in the book because it's ego protecting. That's a confidence issue. Listen, do it anyway. Do the shit anyway. Do the hard stuff. Not sure about it? Do it anyway. Don't think you maybe have the intellectual power for it? Do it anyway. It's the only way to find out if you can. That's the only way. Not sure you can build something? Do it anyway. Try it. Like you can trick yourself 18 different ways into why you shouldn't do something. You can talk yourself out of anything because your brain and imagination is the most powerful force. And we've talked about this before on this podcast. Your brain and imagination is the most powerful tool you have for good and for bad. And you will talk yourself out of anything if you tell yourself that story long enough. I can't do that. That's too hard. And this really comes down to confidence. It really does. Here's the thing. Let's break down into like sort of personal confidence, right? I don't think I'm the most confident person in the world, the most confident dude. I think I'm a situational extrovert. I was talking about this with my therapist the other day, and she was asking me a bunch of really hard questions about myself and my family and, you know, really tough stuff. And I was having trouble answering. And I think I put up walls with people sometimes. I don't let them too in and I don't get too close to them. My circle's very small, and I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing. We're working on me kind of taking off this shield I've developed over the years, not because of anything. And I don't want to get too woo woo on you or past life stuff, because, you know, I'm the spiritual dude now. I don't get too far down that road, but like, there's a reason we're all a certain way, right? And I'm a little closed off sometimes. I can be the loudest person in a room if you want me to be. I can talk your face off if you want to be. I get in a mood at a party and I will be very opinionated, but I can also be the quietest person in the room. I can be that person, and the people who know me, I don't want to go out tonight. I don't want to go to the party. I don't want to go to that dinner party. I don't want to go for dinner. I just want to chill and be in my own head, and I don't want to have to socialize. I can be that guy, and that's a little closed-minded, and I'm trying to work on that. Doesn't mean I have to be the most social person, but I have some, there's some confidence there, right? But here for me, for personal confidence, and this is in my entrepreneurial space, in the business, anything good I've done in my life, I'm just like you. Any successful entrepreneur, I'm not calling myself successful, but I've done some pretty neat stuff. But any successful entrepreneur, business person, even a CEO, anyone who deems himself successful, they've had the same questions that you have. They had like, and in our businesses, I get people, oh, I don't know if I can do this. Oh God, I'm a little scared to do it. Yeah. I know I was the same way. Like, I don't think people get that I know that person who's making $18 million in their business this year, when they started, had the same fucking questions as you. I don't know if I can do this. Should I do it? It's the same question. Oh, is that a smart move? Oh man, I don't know if I should pay that much rent on that. I don't know. Do I invest that much in the product? It's going to cost me X amount and I got to resell it. Oh God, I don't know if I have enough creative juices to be able to start that photography business because I've never done it before. Fuck. No one's done it before for the first time. Anyone who's trying something for the first time, they haven't done it before. That's why it's called the first time. We all know this. But they do it anyway. That's the only way you learn. That's the only, like, failing is learning. It's the only way to do it. And you also figure out maybe that's not the thing for you. Or maybe it is, you just know you have to go harder at it or down a different angle or do things differently or hire more help to help you, right? Or maybe put a little bit of a spin on it that's going to make sense. So if you never try anything outside the box and if you never do something, how in the world would you ever build confidence? It's a good exercise. Take out a piece of paper. Write down 10 things, and I don't want to call it risky because this isn't about investing a bunch of money and hoping it works out in the end. I'm not talking about going broke that way. Maybe you traveled across the world to Europe to go meet a girl or a man. Maybe something like list out 10 things that you've done that have been like, even to yourself, you're like, holy shit, I'm going to do this. Wow. List out 10 things. Because you might get to number one or two and not have any more, and that might tell you something about where you could expand in your life. Again, I'm not saying, you know, not at the risk of your health or financial situation. Although sometimes you're going to have to take those risks, and I have, you know, not health, but like financially. And people have a different variance and different tolerance for that. But create a list of the 10 most, I don't want to call it risky, but the 10 things that you've played outside the box the most. Because personally, I think those things are the things that build the confidence the most, because you're like, fuck yeah. Yes, I'm living, I'm playing outside there, right? So that's the one thing, is you're going to build confidence from those things. And number two is you're going to find some passions and some people and some things in your life by taking that little opportunity or playing outside the box by trying that new thing. You're going to open up worlds to yourself. And even that is going to build up confidence from the first point. Here's the other thing about personal confidence. I personally, I'll use myself as an example because it's me talking and I know myself best. I'm not talking about my event that happened in 2019, although, you know, I had a cardiac arrest. Did I have confidence issues about my health and fitness and wellness after that? Of course. I died. Something severe happened to my heart. I had the Widowmaker, 80% blockage. Of course, coming out of that, I was like, ooh, lacking a little confidence in my overall wellness. I'm a fitness guy. I like to move. I like to sweat. I like to play hockey, baseball, whatever. I had some confidence issues coming out of that. Naturally, who wouldn't, right? What did I do? I got checked out. I went to the doctors, went to the cardiologist. He's like, your heart's good. Everything's good. You can start doing some stuff again. I built up the confidence that by doing the stuff, getting on a treadmill, going for walks, running, starting to lift weights, testing it out, building confidence in my physical ability that my heart would hold up. Nothing's guaranteed. I didn't know for sure that something bad would happen again. I can't predict that. None of us can. But I took action. I did things anyway with the doctor's help. I did things anyway, even though I was a little bit afraid and lacking that confidence. And slowly over time, every day, I'd build up a little more confidence because I was doing it. I was doing things. So I'd finally go for a run. Oh, went for a run, 30 minutes. That felt good. My heart rate felt good. Check my blood pressure. Do all the things I need to do. Take care of them. I slowly built up the confidence to very quickly, I had no fear about going out and sprinting or running or doing whatever cardiovascularly. And I'm getting updated from my doctor and I'm getting my heart checked. So there's some science and I'm getting raw data for that. But when you go through something like that, but I built up confidence because I worked on it and I would do things and I'd do those little chances and kind of risk stuff, right? And so now I have this confidence around my heart. I really do. And I can't control it. And I can't predict the future, right? But we control the controllable. Other thing is like, you know, these last 2 or 3 years, I've dealt with some other stuff that I haven't really shared publicly. And I talked about self-pride on my other solo podcast, and this is part of it. But like, I think confidence also, it really comes from like keeping promises to yourself. Keeping promises to yourself. I had to make some changes in my life the last 2 or 3 years. You know, some real changes about how I was treating myself. And I had to make some real promises. And yeah, I made promises to other people, you know, definitely made promises to other people. But those are important. Don't get me wrong. But the promises I made to myself, because I'm the one who has to live with myself and live with the thoughts in my brain and live with my pride and my confidence and my ego, you know, live with my self-worth, my integrity, the value I place on what I say and my words that I tell people, I have to live with that myself. And I made some big promises to myself. And I've kept those promises. And that alone has built up a confidence in me that, oh, I can do some really hard things. I can get through some really hard things, just like you can. So, you know, even back to this original email, which was kind of entrepreneurial and business focused, we can take this down any path or any category in your life, whether it's relationships or business or your job or your new business or your health or anything in your confidence level. Are you keeping promises to yourself? Because when you break the promise, when you treat yourself like an asshole, maybe it is health. I'll use that as an example. You know, you promise yourself you're going to treat yourself a certain way and put things in your body that make you feel good. When you keep those promises, you build up a little bit more confidence. You build up a little more, oh, I can do this. I can do this. You get out of the physical dependency of the things you used to put in your body. Oh, I can do this. The confidence, you start working out a little bit more confidence. You start to look in the mirror. Oh man, I look a little like it all flows together, right? And then you break the promise. You break the promise to yourself and you go off the rails. Not that you should be on or off, because I don't believe in that. But when you break promises to yourself, you're emptying your confidence bank account. And it's kind of a way to think of it as a bank account, right? A promise bank account. You keep promises to yourself and to other people, whether it's business, relationships. I will do this. I won't do that. No, I'm going to work hard on this. I'm going to budget better in our financial situation. When you keep those promises and go down a positive path, you know, and maybe start tracking your spending that you're doing. Maybe don't eat out as much if finances is the category that you need to work on. You keeping those promises, that adds to that promise bank account, that confidence bank account, you know, and we have this bank account our whole life. Every time you do something, every time you keep a promise, every time you do something positive in that category, you build up that bank account, that promise bank account. And every time you don't keep your promise, especially to yourself, that bank account empties a little bit. There's less cash flow in there. Less cash flow. And we've got this running balance in life. So if you see someone, my opinion, you see someone who appears really confident, or they're not afraid to take some risk or chances on a relationship or their job or whatever, that person, I'm guessing, over their life has built up that cash flow bank account by keeping promises to themselves to build up the confidence, because that's one of the only ways, right? And then having the wherewithal and the self-reflection and self-awareness that when they try something and it doesn't quite go right, they have the self-awareness to go, oh, fuck, okay, didn't work out. I'm not perfect. Neither is any other human, but I'm going to try it this way the next time. Or that I'm not going to take that experience and paint the whole brush that I'm a loser, I can't do anything, because that's what people do. Doesn't make sense, but that's what people do. Because if there's 50 categories, I might be good at 34 of them and really bad at 16. That doesn't mean I'm bad in general. It doesn't mean I'm good in general. It means I'm really good at some things and not very good at other things, just like every other person on this planet. But why do you brush yourself with the bad stroke? I can't do that. Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm so insecure. Yeah, you're insecure, but just because you're insecure doesn't mean you're not good at a lot of things. You're just focusing on what you're shitty at. And that's what I'm really good at. I know I'm not very good at many things. I'm so self-aware of my faults and how shitty I am at certain things. And I shouldn't even say that out loud. I'm so self-aware of that, that I don't focus on it though. That doesn't define me. Cause then I go and I take an inventory of all the good things I'm good at or decent at. But there's a lot on both sides. And then I go back into my bank account and all the things I've done that have allowed me to build up some confidence in life, so that when I need it in my life and I'm feeling low, because we all feel that way, and I'm feeling a lack of confidence, and I'm feeling like, oh God, will this work? Should I do this? And I'm getting that moment. I can go back from experience and look at the things that I've done where I've built up confidence. And even the stuff that I've tried, I'm like, man, I'm proud I tried that, but it didn't work out. There's confidence there because I did it anyway. Even though it didn't work out, I did it anyway. And that built confidence in me. I wasn't scared to do it. That built, where it doesn't matter what the result was, the fact that I just did it, I built up that confidence meter, that bank account. I made a promise to myself that I would get uncomfortable and try that. And that alone raised that bank account, that cash flow, right? Yeah, maybe it didn't work out. That's going to lower it a bit. But man, the fact that I tried that, that's where I focus at. So I'm really trying to keep promises to myself. And in those promises I've made to myself the last 2 or 3 years, my confidence level there, it's really high right now. I feel really good about myself because I'm keeping those promises. And then the people that I surround myself with, like my wife, for one, she'll say to me, hey, I'm really proud of you, Jamie. I'm really proud of the work you're doing. I'm really proud that I see the work that you're doing. And I try to be the same for her, right? And that's a whole other, we talk about the circle and who's with you and stuff like that. But that's sort of how that works, right? It's promises in, promises out. Are you not keeping promises to yourself? Don't worry about promises to other people. Are you not keeping promises to yourself? Even if it's a conversation on the couch in your head. Oh, I should really be doing this. Right? I should really be doing it. And not in like a despair or a, but it's like, you know, those, have you ever had those conversations where you're like, man, I should do that. I have, this happens to me all the time. Like, I should start that app. That would be a good idea. And sometimes I start thinking about it more deeply. Sometimes I don't. I evaluate it. I trust my intuition, but like those are the little conversations, right? And they don't even have to be that. It can be sitting at home and like you're about to make a bad decision and you don't. Like those are keeping even those tiny little promises. It's like, you know, putting $20 in the bank account as opposed to 10,000. It doesn't have to be these massive deposits, but the more positive ones you put in there, you can go back and use those experiences when you did have that, like, oh, I did it anyway. Not sure? Fucking do it anyway. Do it anyway. That's how it builds up. But yet we get so fearful, right? We get so scared. And I want to touch on this, and we touch on it a lot. Because, you know, I think your imagination and your creativity and your intuition will be your most powerful tool. You've got to find a way to trust that. And I think that trust comes from experience and openness and doing the work and the reading. And I don't want to get spiritual, but a lot of that intuitive process comes from doing the work and opening up. And maybe it's therapy, maybe it's other avenues, you know, really getting in touch with what's going on and who you are and what you want out of this life, and getting a little bit deeper in your thought process. Maybe it's meditation. Maybe that's the portal, right? Maybe it's church, maybe it's religion, maybe it's spirituality. I don't know. I can't do that for you. But here's the thing. Because your imagination and your own thought process is the most important, it's the most important thing to manifesting whatever you want. It's so powerful, your thought process. That's what you need to focus on. The problem is that we have ego and we have ears. And we listen to the critics, and we listen to other people who are standing in the corner, shaking in their own boots because they're terrified of ever trying anything, or they're terrified of their own life and where it's going, that you trying something, they're so scared of you moving further away from them in your process and evolution, that rather than supporting you, they're going to hammer on you with what you're doing because you're making them feel uncomfortable because maybe they feel like they're not doing enough. We've talked about this before. Criticism, you know, giving someone an opinion with some value and some tact to it, being like, hey, I see you're doing that. I love that you're doing that. But have you ever tried maybe this way? I have some experience on this. What about doing it maybe that way? Have you ever thought about that? I love what you're doing. And like, that's one way to do it. But, you know, I've often found that I don't want to use the word hater. I think it's overused and hate's a strong word. But typically criticism comes with no credentials. Criticism lacks credentials. Because I'll rarely hear from someone who's really qualified in something, you know, really qualified in a certain industry, or they're a CEO, or they're in banking, or whatever. They're really successful and they know their shit. You never see them look down on people in the same field trying stuff and be hypercritical of them. It just doesn't happen, because you know why? Because they fucking been there before. They know how hard it is. They know the struggle. They know the courage it took to start to get in that position, because they've been there and worked their way up. That's why you don't hear that happen that often. The criticism usually comes from the person with no credentials. They want to critique you on what you're about to do, yet they've never attempted anything themselves. Isn't that funny how that works? They've never tried to start a business, but they're telling you why the one you want to do won't work. Isn't that a funny thing? I'm not trying to be a pun or do this, but like, if I'm getting heart surgery, I kind of want a heart surgeon to do it. Not someone who changes tires. No offense if you change tires. Good job, necessary job. That's not my point. So why would you take advice from someone with no experience in what you're trying to do? But it happens all the time. Happens all the time, right? Aunt Frances has an opinion on what you're doing. Aunt Frances, have you ever done that before? No, but I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't. Oh, does that make any sense? No. No. Because sometimes fear brings out the worst in people. And insecurity brings out the worst in people. And because they feel like maybe they're not further along somewhere, man, they sure want to pipe up and let you, why this is why you won't be able to do it either, because I can't. You can't do this because I couldn't. Well, no, it's not that you couldn't maybe. It's that you didn't want to and you didn't have the courage to, or the confidence, or the ability to just jump when you weren't sure if the parachute was going to open. Bad analogy, but that's okay. Make sure the parachute opens before you jump, always. But you know what I mean. So the confidence part, you got to go internal for that. You got to try some stuff out. And you really do have to block out the white noise. And if you're going to listen to anyone, listen to someone you trust who's done it before. And not just told you, they've like, maybe you do a little, like really have done some stuff before. You know? It's really important. So back to this original email. I don't have all the answers about confidence. I just don't, because it's multi-layered. Like I said, there's so many aspects that come into that. But for me, I just had to start doing it anyway. Do it anyway. You know, part of Kim and I's role the last 10 years in our multiple businesses has been speaking kind of publicly, speaking on Zoom calls to lots and lots of people who are there to think that we're going to give them some good advice. I've shared the story before. I shared it in our presentation in Ottawa. When I was a high school teacher, my first couple of years, I had to get up in the staff room as a young kid, 25, and talk to all the teachers to say, white as a ghost, terrified, almost sick that week, knowing I had to do that. And, you know, that would make me sick. I was so terrified of standing up and speaking because I lacked that confidence. But over time, you do it, because I had to. It was part of my job. But then you do it more and more, and it eventually becomes enjoyable and fun, because you start to do it so much that you realize, oh, I can do that. Oh, I'm actually okay with that. Oh, more practice. Hey, the fifth time, it wasn't as scary, and I didn't get sick the night before. And because you just do it anyway. There's no real trick here, guys. If something is like, something's gnawing on you. Like there's this idea and it keeps coming up and you're aware enough to hear that voice in your head or intuitive enough to understand, oh, that's coming up. That's coming up. That's coming up. Listen to that. Listen to that voice. And then you gotta sometimes just do it anyway. And keep those frickin' promises to yourself, right? Keep those promises to yourself. It's so valuable because when you don't, you start to negative self-talk. And that's where that bank account starts to get wonky and you get real in debt. And when you're in debt and something else comes up, you know, you don't have that cash flow to take care of it because you're already in debt and you can't do anything about it. So keep that bank account in the positive. Try new stuff. Build that confidence. The only way to figure out what you're good at is to figure out what you're not good at. I really believe that. The only way to figure out what you're really good at, you might have to figure out what you're not good at first. And that's going to require you to do it anyway, to get some confidence. And if it fails, try something else. Look at it as like, oh, okay, that's maybe not for me. Maybe I'll try this. Maybe I need to attack that thing differently. Maybe I need to work harder, actually treat that like a business, actually become a CEO, right? Because sometimes when things don't work out, it's not just because they're not the right thing. It's because maybe we didn't put in the time, work ethic, all the multifaceted reasons, right? I hope that helped. I hope there's value there. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychotherapist. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I'm just a 50-year-old guy who, you know, I went to school for teaching because I wasn't sure what else to do. I love teachers. My whole family are teachers, pretty much. And then I wanted to try some new stuff. Stuff that I'd never done before. Retail. Franchising. Direct sales. Private coaching. Podcasting. Online sales. All things I'd had to do for the first time, the first time I started them, just like all of you. But you do it anyway. And I started some stuff that didn't work too. But I did it anyway. And you build confidence. And even just making the choice, you know what? I'm going to go start this and do this. I don't know where it's going to end. Even not knowing the result can build confidence in that. You should be proud of those decisions. Because they're not easy. And be super proud that you can block out that white noise from the critics with no credentials. They buy the cheapest ticket in the stadium, right? They invest the cheapest amount of money. But they're the loudest person in the ballpark because they have to yell so people hear them down on the field. Keep your promises to yourself, people. You keep your promises to yourself more than you don't, things will change. Things will change. And that's just self-pride and all that stuff. Hope this helped. Love you all. Thanks for listening. I know your time's valuable. I hope you're walking, actually. I hope you're walking. Walking's so good. You know this. You know I know this. Thanks, everybody. Have a good one.
You have been listening to the Fitz Life Unfiltered podcast with Jamie and Kim Fitzpatrick. Please share this with your friends, family, and everyone looking to level up in their life. Leave a review and smash the shit out of the subscribe button. All resources and contact info are in the episode notes. Thank you for listening.